in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Isaiah 7 verse 14, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. We're limited, aren't we, by what we think's possible. We feel trapped because of the darkness and mess inside us and outside us. We might even feel cursed and feel as if the darkness is swallowing us up. And the thing is, that's quite true, that feeling. You know, people say to me, I feel cursed, feel as if the darkness is swallowing me up. And I always tell them, oh no, it's not just a feeling. That's true. You are cursed. The darkness is going to swallow you up in the end. That is the destiny of the human race. We are exiled from the life of God and he has cursed us. You've only got one hope. And that is this. I'm giving you a summary of the whole sermon actually here. But as it says here in these passages, the people walking in darkness, because that's humanity, we are walking in darkness, but we've seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So the virgin birth of Jesus is impossible. Sometimes people don't like that. They'll say, but I can't believe in this virgin birth thing. That's impossible. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's the point of it. It's impossible. If it was possible, that would be nothing. It's impossible. That's the point of it. It's the perfect sign of hope for people who live in darkness and in the shadow of death. There is no human possibility to escape death. Everybody dies. There's no escape from death and darkness and corruption and hell. There is no escape. So it's impossible, isn't it? Impossible. We need something impossible to give us hope in the face of that. And that's what we're looking at the beginning of this Christmas time. We're going to briefly look then at one of the most famous Christmas Bible verses this morning, an ancient prophecy about a young virgin woman giving birth to God. It says the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means, you know, God's here. And 600 years before Jesus was born, there's this ancient prophet who knew all about it. And he trusted in Jesus 600 years before Jesus was born. It was originally given, this prophecy, as we saw, as it was read for us, it was given to provide eternal peace and security at a time of great national anxiety and panic. And if we grasp the truth of the birth of Jesus this morning, we can know this eternal peace and security at a time of national anxiety. If we find peace with the living God, we can know a peace that the world cannot ever give. A peace that cannot be taken away from us. If we trust in Jesus who cannot be shaken, we can have peace and security and hope when everything else is shaken. As Haggai says in Haggai 2, 6 and 7, everything's going to be shaken except the one thing that cannot be shaken, which is this Lord God, Jesus Christ, who has come among us. We've seen that, haven't we, in these past weeks and months, all this year, that the fixed and familiar points in life have moved. The things that seem to be unshakable, that we took for granted, they're permanent fixtures of life. They're not. That's 2020. They've moved or gone completely, and we're clutching onto anything in order to find peace, meaning, security, stability. We've all experienced that, trying to clutch onto things to find some points that are fixed. And what's that led to? Lots of our vulnerabilities and insecurities have been exposed. And we build up little walls like toilet roll tubes. We build up these little walls to give us a sense of security and stability. And that's what they are. They're just these little flimsy things which you can hardly touch and they fall down. That's been our experience of 2020. And what do we do? Where do we go to find security? Well, we take incredibly strong views about government policies, for or against, because we're like, that's my security. This or that. And we're inordinately strong on all sorts of political things, social things, moral questions, identity questions. What's wrong with the world? This is the answer. And it's incredibly strong views about these things. Why? And retreating into tribal identities or creating totally new identities for ourselves or whatever we're trying to do, because we're trying to find something that we can hold on to. We're trying to say, well, this, at least if this happens or if this gets sorted or these people get me or if only we could change this thing about society. And you're like, no, none of those things. They're all just in the whether they're good or bad or anything, they're not eternally secure things. None of those things are eternally secure. And underneath all that, we've got our classic addictions and obsessions that rumble away under the surface and haven't been under the surface in these months. How many of us have woken up in the night or been unable to sleep at all because we're so overwhelmed, so vulnerable, so anxious, so panicked? Isaiah chapter 7 takes us to a moment of great national uncertainty and insecurity more than 2,500 years ago. Ahaz was king of Judah, faced with two invading armies. It was a very difficult situation from a human point of view. In verse 2 we read, the hearts of Ahaz and his people trembled like trees in the forest, shaken by the wind. Their hearts trembled like that, a tree under a storm. Have you ever experienced that kind of trembling? Well, you're literally shaking with anxiety. Have you had one of those panic attacks where you're trembling and you can physically see yourself shaking? Your heart is pounding, your stomach is messed up. That's what Ahaz were like, and the people. What are we supposed to do when that happens, when we're overwhelmed with fear, when panic strikes, anxiety overwhelms? Well, the Lord, at that time, when they were feeling like that, he sent Isaiah to preach to Ahaz. And that's just straight away important, that when we're overwhelmed by anxiety and panic, when our fears are drowning us, we need to hear real truth. Because, I mean, the world's full of fake news and all these things that you've got to listen to this. This is the answer. This is what needs to change. Let me tell you the real story here. Everybody's the real story. No. None of this is the real story. The real story is something to do with the Lord Jesus. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Amazing. When we're overwhelmed by anxiety and panic and our fears are drowning us, we need to get a true perspective and to connect to the truth of our Father in heaven with King Jesus ruling over the divine empire and the Spirit of life pouring out to us. Who thinks of that? That's the really revolutionary thing, isn't it? We might turn to all kinds of things, delusions and lies when we're desperate for peace and life, and we deliberately give ourselves to addictions and obsessions to find some comfort and a feeling of security, and we just run away into some kind of escapism. But all of these things make it worse for us in the end. They may like make us feel as if we've got some security, but everything that can be shaken will be shaken, says Haggai. And when we trust in things that can be shaken, we're doomed, really. There's no peace. There's no eternal peace there. So the Word of God, when the Lord says, listen, Isaiah, you need to go and preach eternal truth to Ahaz. That is what matters. It changes the way we think and the way we feel. The Spirit of life and light will illumine this wonderful word of God to us. We might think that the last thing we need when we're panicking in the middle of the night is slogging through some old book. Like, no, I'm far too stressed for slogging through some old book. But this book is not like any other book. The word of God is alive and powerful, and it's like a person. It's Jesus and the Bible are so tied up together. We meet with the Lord Jesus himself in these pages. When we open it, we're not just opening some dusty old book. We're opening a gateway into heaven and meeting Christ, and the Spirit, who's the author of Scripture, is there ready to open our hearts and minds. The Holy Spirit who wrote these words through the ancient writers is in business today to show us wonderful things in the Word. So when Ahaz was overwhelmed with panic, trembling like trees in a storm, the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to him to preach truth and comfort to him, to remind him of truths that are far above all the headlines and clamoring news of the moment. Isaiah was told, actually, it's an interesting little thing. He says, take your son with you when you go and speak to Ahaz, because Isaiah's son, you'll see him there, is called Shear Jashub. Which, what does that mean? Well, it means something like, if we were going to put it in our language, it means something like hope in serious trouble. So the Lord says, Isaiah, take your son who's got that name that means kind of hope when everything fails. Or we might say his name's like, the dawn will shine after the darkness. It's that sort of a name. It's a name that's like, oh, wow. So there is hope in the darkest times. And the Lord says, yeah, take him along. And just the fact he's there with that name will be useful. Hope when bad things happen. And Isaiah was told to meet Ahaz near to a water supply system in Jerusalem. Now that's important because as you read all these stories, these histories, these kings, that was their temptation. That they would think when there's war and trouble, the thing that's going to make sure we're secure is our water supply system in Jerusalem. Because then we can hole up inside Jerusalem behind the walls, and as long as we've got our water, we can stay there and we're safe. So that was the thing that these kings tended to trust in, this amazing engineering project of water pipes, basically, water pipes. They look to those to give them hope and security. And the Lord says, I tell you what, meet him. Go and talk to Ahaz when he's out by his water pipes. Because that's when he'll be thinking, I'm all right, we've got the water pipes. And then you need to confront him. When he's doing that and thinking that, when he's looking at his aqueduct, that's when you need to go, oi, what are you doing? There's no hope there, pal. And it's funny because there's a later king who has exactly the same challenge, and the enemy general meets at the same point and says, here, you're not trusting in this rubbish, are you? That's never going to save you. Because the enemy king, military knew this is what the kings tended to think. So Ahaz was doing that. He's like, he's looking at his water pipes and thinking, I'm all right. And then that's the time the word of the Lord comes to him and says, what are you doing? Why are you trusting in that? Yeah. And we might laugh at that. It does sound silly. We're like, what an idiot. Getting comfort from water pipes. What a balloon. What's your water pipes? If the Lord was going to confront you and find you out, and he'd say, now, at this point, when this thing, this activity, these websites, these substances, these activities, whatever it is, when they're anxious, when they're looking for security, when they want to calm their fears, and they turn to these things. When Paul turns to these things, then the word of the Lord comes. Where would it find us? Where would the Lord of God find us? It probably isn't our water pipes, but what might it be? You know now, you're thinking, that is the thing I run to when I'm nervous, when I want security, when I want to feel better. You know what it is. That's where the word of the Lord came to confront Ahaz. Where was the word of the Lord going to confront you? When we go, where would we be confronted about our obsessions, our addictions, escapism, false hopes, fragile security? So Ahaz, he's at the aqueduct and he hears the word of the Lord. And Ahaz is going to have to choose that day. Ahaz had to choose that day. Am I going to go with my water pipes? Or am I go to the fountain of all life and light and the of living water? Which of these am I going to trust myself to? He had to make a decision about hope, security, peace, stability. You will have to make that choice this morning, this Christmas time. Where are you going to get your hope and life and security from? Where are you going to find peace? Far more than the immediate threat that Ahaz was facing, he needed to deal with this big issue of the Lord God who was speaking to him. You see, even if Ahaz got some comfort about that particular thing that was coming, these armies coming, right? Even if, say, he says, that's the only thing I'm bothered about. It's these armies. If I didn't have that fear, I wouldn't have any fears. You know that's a lie, isn't it? That's a lie. There's always fears. There's, even if that problem was taken away, there's always going to be something else in this world, in this life. There are always fears. There are always things that are waking us up in the middle of the night. There are always things to make us panic and feel anxious. And you might right now have one that looms huge in your mind. But even if that was evaporated away in a second, it won't be long before there's another one. None of these things, solving all these little things, is never going to give you eternal peace. To get eternal peace, you need to forget the securities that deal with the little things. You have to find the answer that deals with all things. The point of stability when everything falls, isn't it? You know it. You know, if you're a hypochondriac, you'll say, oh, I'm just so worried about this particular funny ache I've got or this funny little symptom. That's the thing I need to... But then you know, because that even when that disappears, it's not long before there's another one. Like Billy Graham always used to say that. Hypochondriac can never have peace because even when one thing is like dismissed, they're almost immediately got another one. You have to be in a position where you no longer fear bad news. How can we do that? How can we do that? Look at down at the end of verse 9 to see the deep challenge that the Lord gave to Ahaz. He says this, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in your faith in Christ the Lord, you will not stand at all. You might get through this crisis. Same for you this morning. You might get through your current crisis. Oh, I got through that. But you're never going to stand. You're always going to be trembling and vulnerable to the anxiety over tax and the attack and the overwhelm. You're always going to. Because if you do not stand firm in this faith in Christ, you will not stand ever. The Lord is inviting Ahaz here to leave all his anxieties and panic behind and trust this Lord Christ with his life and future. He had to stop looking to fragile human inventions for security and peace, water pipes or whatever it is that you have, I have. We have to stop looking to those things for peace or any human leaders or human movements or any of it. We have to stop looking to those things for our future and say, no, there's only one person who really holds the future, who cannot be moved, Christ the Lord. We have to make that radical, profound shift of trusting in the Lord with for everything in life and death. But the problem is, as we've seen, Ahaz was deeply locked into his aqueducts, his water pipes, his human sources of comfort and security. So actually, he wasn't really interested in the Lord God at all. He wasn't interested in the Lord God or anything that the Lord God could do, really. All Ahaz wanted was earthly security. That's what he wanted. And whatever the Lord was offering, in the end, Ahaz just wasn't interested in that. As far as he's concerned, earthly stuff, that makes me feel secure. This kingdom of heaven stuff, I'm not interested, mate. He thought he knew how the world really works. He was cynical about this kingdom of heaven stuff. So when the Lord God asked Ahaz, saying, listen, trust me, everything's going to be okay. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a sign. Ask for a sign and I'll do it for you. And Ahaz is like, I'm not interested in that. And then the Lord's really saying, I would do almost anything for you. We've seen that in the book of Joshua. The Lord will move heaven and earth for his people. But and Hezekiah, later in the book of Isaiah, he does do that sort of thing for him. Because Hezekiah does ask for a sign and gets it. But Ahaz is like, I'm not interested in that. Look, what's the point of all this kingdom of heaven stuff? I just need armies on the ground. I just need water pipes. I just need money. I just need weapons. I'm not interested in all this stuff. There's just pie in the sky stuff. I'm not interested. He's not even willing to listen to the Lord God. And so the Lord God says, okay, so you're not interested. You're going to try my patience. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a sign, but you'll never see it. But I'm going to give a sign to my real people for them to trust and hope in that one day a young virgin woman is going to have a baby and that baby will be God. Wow. Now Ahaz is like, I'm not interested in that. Some young woman. I'm not interested in that sort of thing. I need big armies. Exactly. Ahaz doesn't realize the most radical. This little baby, when he's born, the whole universe changes. Kings come from all over the world to worship this little baby. Even before he's eating solid food, he changes the world. Ahaz isn't interested in that sort of thing. He doesn't trust in Jesus. He doesn't trust in that. Are you like Ahaz a bit this today? Are you saying, no, look, I don't want all your kingdom of heaven and Jesus stuff. I just want you to give me health and wealth. That's all I want, God. Health and wealth, that means something. This Jesus and his kingdom, that don't mean anything to me. Are you like Ahaz? It's rubbish. You'll never know peace. You'll never know peace if you're like that. What shaky earthly thing counts more to you than Jesus, the divine Jesus, rather than the divine Jesus who you can share eternal life with? Do you prefer money in the bank, food and drink to make you feel good, guarantee of perfect health, political goals in society, justice ambitions, success in career, success in relationships? Are those the things that matter more to you? Well, the Lord God spoke about his own birth, the birth of Jesus from the Virgin Mary. If Ahaz was only prepared to trust in the power of human beings, the Lord God was going to produce a sign that was a denial of the power of human beings. A baby that was born not by human will or human power or human possibilities. A baby that's a human impossibility. He says that is the sign for Ahaz. A sign that says human power cannot deliver what is needed. Only God arriving, impossibly arriving. Only that is the hope that's required. Nothing less than the impossible arrival of God is what we need. We'll say, no, but I'll settle for less. Nothing less is good enough. Nothing less than the impossible arrival of God is good enough to give us eternal hope. Eternal security. The sign of the virgin birth is a sign that says no to human power and human possibilities. If you are hoping to find lasting peace through like health and wealth or career success or relation, any of that. You're always going to be anxious. You're always going to be worried about bad news. Remember that amazing verse, Psalm 112, verse 7. The righteous will have no fear of bad news. Psalm 112, verse 7. The righteous will have no fear of bad news because their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. That's the only way we can have no fear of bad news. When we're trusting ourselves into the hands of the eternal, almighty Lord Jesus, who accomplished an impossibility, even in his birth, then we need fear no bad news. Jesus was born for a very serious reason. There is a reason, as we've said, that we are so prone to anxiety and panic attacks. There's a reason for that, that we are so prone to anxiety and panic attacks, that we can feel so vulnerable and fragile, that we feel as if our life is so light and momentary. We feel as if we're cursed, that the deep darkness is swallowing us up. Listen carefully to this heavy and serious truth as we're coming to the end. We so often feel as if we're cursed and the deep darkness is swallowing us up because, as we said, it's true. We are cursed and we are destined to the outer darkness of hell for all eternity, from exile from the living God. That's the truth about the human race. Even from our earliest days, we are full of selfishness and darkness, and we grow up to express more of that corruption and darkness in lies and greed and hate and anger and violence and selfishness and godlessness. And it comes out of us in all sorts of ways. Or we try to hide it and keep it in close, but we can't in the end. It's there. That's the truth about us. There is no place in God's eternal kingdom and life for people like us as we naturally are. God came down to be one of us, to become one of us, to become one of us in the deepest possible mess and curse. He died the cursed death. He got thrown out into the deepest God-forsaken darkness so that you would never need to get thrown out like that. So that your destiny could be changed and that you could have a new destiny arranged for you. So that when that eternal creeping darkness and cursed anxiety starts to scrabble at your soul, you can call out to this Lord Jesus and trust in him and find a peace that nothing can ever take away. This can be the greatest Christmas you've ever known, if you will call out to Jesus, the virgin-born, impossible God on earth. Even his birth shows that he can deal with impossible odds. No matter what your situation or mess this morning, you can call out to Jesus. Let Jesus take the consequences of your God-forsaken mess and let him fill you with the life of God, the Spirit of life, so that even in the darkest winter night, you can know the warm glow of eternal security in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the honour, all the majesty by all of us, now and forever. Amen.